Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
We are continuing our series of sermons today on the Apostles' Creed in light of the explanation given to us in the Heidelberg Catechism. And today we come to that part of the Creed in which we confess that Christ was crucified. And in connection with that, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, as we read the verses 32 to 56. Hear God's holy word. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. So far the reading of the word of God. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word to our hearts today. The text for the sermon today is taken from this passage of Scripture, Matthew 27 and verse 35, these words, "Then they crucified him." And I'd also like to read in this connection from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 15, question and answer 39. The question is asked, "Is there anything more in his being crucified than if he had died some other death?" And the answer is, yes, there is. "For thereby I am assured that he took on him the curse which lay upon me. For the death of the cross was accursed of God." Dear friends, in the Apostles' Creed we confess that Christ was crucified. These are only two words, but they are some of the most profound in the Creed. They not only express that Christ died, but that he died in a particular way, by the most painful, most humiliating, most cursed death imaginable, death by crucifixion. We read about that in our text today. Jesus had just been condemned to die by Pontius Pilate. And as he was being led to the place of execution, carrying his cross, he stumbled and fell, no doubt because of sheer exhaustion. Not wanting to waste any time, the Roman soldiers who were escorting him singled out a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, whom they forced to carry the cross behind Jesus. At long last, they arrived at the place of execution. It was called Golgotha, or the place of a skull. And there the soldiers offered Jesus something to drink, vinegar mixed with gall. But as soon as he tasted it, he refused it. Following that, the soldiers stretched Jesus out on the cross, and we read the words of our text, "And they crucified him." The Lord Jesus Christ was put to death by crucifixion. And it's to this subject that I would like to turn your attention today. Our theme is the crucifixion of Christ. We'll consider, first of all, the cruelty of the crucifixion. Secondly, the curse of the crucifixion. And then thirdly, the comfort of the crucifixion. Throughout the centuries, man has invented many ways to execute criminals. Poison, drowning, burning, beheading, a firing squad, hanging, lethal injection, electrocution. But no method of execution is more cruel and more painful and more humiliating than crucifixion. What is crucifixion? Crucifixion is a form of execution invented by the Romans. It involved stretching the body of a condemned criminal on a wooden cross, fastening it by means of iron spikes that were nailed into the hands and the feet. The cross was then hoisted into the air, and the base of the cross was inserted into a hole in the ground. At times, a small board or peg was inserted between the criminal's legs to serve as a kind of a seat. This would prevent the weight of his body from ripping his arms and feet from the nails. It would also prevent suffocation, ensuring that the victim suffered for as long as possible. Ordinarily, the cross stood only a little above an ordinary person's height, so that the feet were usually only a few inches from the ground, not high in the air, as is often depicted in paintings and movies of the crucifixion. The sign describing the grounds for execution was also attached to the cross, usually above the person's head. Death by crucifixion usually came very slowly. Sometimes a person would hang on the cross for several days. During this time, the victim would suffer from extreme hunger and thirst and exposure due to the hot sun and the wind, not to mention the unbearable pain in his hands and feet. Sometimes death was mercifully hastened by breaking the legs of the condemned with a club, and that would force the weight of the victim's body downwards, resulting in suffocation. After the victim died, his body was usually left unburied to be eaten by birds and wild animals. Well, this is the kind of death that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. Only his legs were not broken, nor was his body left unburied. But he experienced everything else. He died by crucifixion. And how horrible this was, especially for him. Try to imagine the pain our Lord suffered as he hung on the cross. Many people were crucified during the days of the Roman Empire, but none experienced as much pain as our Savior. For in addition to the physical pain caused by the nails in his hands and in his feet, our Lord also suffered emotional pain as he saw his mother Mary standing at the foot of the cross, weeping, and as he remembered that all of his disciples had forsaken him and fled in his greatest hour of need. He also suffered psychological pain as he had to endure the taunts and the ridicule of the Jewish religious leaders and the soldiers and those who passed by, not to mention the two thieves who were crucified with him, the one on the right hand and the other on the left. But what made his pain far worse than the pain of other victims of crucifixion is the spiritual pain that he endured, that occurred during the 3 hours of darkness, when he was cut off from his Father, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" At that moment, the full wrath of God for the sins of all of his people was poured out upon his Son. The dam that held this wrath back for so many centuries was finally broken, unleashing its torrent on the Lord Jesus, causing him to cry out in agony and despair. And he was cut off. He who was in the bosom of the Father from all eternity, who was daily his delight, the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God, was separated from God, his Father. God had turned his back on him. It was a horrible, painful, and humiliating death. Oh, let these things sink deep down into our hearts and minds, dear friends. Let us learn from this how great and terrible sin is in the sight of God. It is so great and so terrible that it required the Son of God to be crucified. And since that is so, how earnestly we should hate it and flee from it. When we think of what terrible pain our Lord had to endure to pay the penalty for our sin, how can we have anything whatsoever to do with it anymore? We cannot. And so let us avoid it at all costs, and let our daily, yes, even hourly prayer be, Lord, lead me not into temptation, that I might not sin against you. And so the crucifixion of Christ was very cruel, but it was also cursed. And we turn to that under our second point. When we think about the crucifixion, inevitably the question arises in our minds, why did Jesus have to die in that way? As we've seen, there are many ways to put someone to death which are far more humane, and yet Christ was crucified. Why? Well, the Heidelberg Catechism deals with that exact question in Lord's Day 15, question and answer 38. The question is asked, is there anything more in his being crucified than if he had died some other death? In other words, our catechism is asking, why did Jesus have to be crucified? Why, for example, could he not have been put to death by stoning, which in Jewish culture was the usual way of putting someone to death? Or why could he not have been put to death by beheading, like John the Baptist, or some other way? Why did he specifically have to be crucified? Is there some significance to the fact that he was crucified? And the answer of the catechism is yes, there is. And it says, for thereby I am assured that he took on him the curse which lay upon me. For the death of the cross was accursed by God. Our catechism points out here that death by crucifixion was accursed of God. This is clearly scriptural. The Apostle Paul makes reference to that in Galatians 3, verse 13. The Galatians were being led astray by false teachers who taught that in order to be saved, one not only had to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, one also had to be circumcised. And for the Apostle Paul, that amounted to a denial of the gospel. The gospel teaches that we are saved by faith in Christ alone, on the basis of the merits of Christ alone. Nothing needs to be or can be added to that. But to teach, as these false teachers were teaching, that we not only have to believe in Christ, but we also have to be circumcised, is to teach that we have to contribute something to our salvation, in this case, our circumcision. And that is a denial of the gospel and of the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. It's to place ourselves under the law. But to place ourselves under the law is to place ourselves under the curse of the law, which is death. And Paul says as much in verse 10. He writes, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, Paul here is quoting from Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. There Moses pronounces a curse on anyone who does not keep the law of God. And Paul's point is that anyone who thinks he must earn even part of his salvation by keeping the law of God had better think twice. You fail in only one point, and you bring on yourself the curse of God. And he underscores that in verse 11 and 12. He writes, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. So here the apostle reiterates his earlier argument that we're saved by faith and not by the works of the law. But that leaves the question, what about the curse of the law? Once God has pronounced a curse, he doesn't remove it. The curse remains. So how is that curse removed? Well, Paul tells us in verse 13, he says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Now here the apostle is quoting from Deuteronomy 21, verse 23. There Moses makes provision for one who had been put to death for a particularly heinous crime to be hung on a tree, perhaps to serve as a warning to others not to commit the same crime. There was, however, one condition. The body could not be left on the tree overnight. It had to be buried the same day. Why? Because God abhorred the sight of a body which he had created hanging on a tree. Exposed to the wind and the elements, he abhorred it so much, in fact, that he pronounced a curse on the person whose body is treated in this manner, even though the person was already dead. And failure to observe this prohibition, Moses said, would result in the defilement of the whole land. So intense was God's disdain of this practice. Now, why did God find this form of execution so heinous? Well, we're not sure, but probably because man is made in the image of God. To allow a man's body to decompose on a tree or to be eaten by animals or birds was to commit a grievous indignity and to insult God himself. But whatever the reason, it was cursed by God. That much is clear. And so when Christ died on the cross, he was cursed by God. Now what that meant for him, we cannot say. Words fail us. We catch a glimpse of that when, during the 3 hours of darkness, our Lord cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did Jesus say that? Because he knew that he was cursed by God. Yes, he who was in the bosom of the Father from all eternity, who was daily his delight, his only begotten, well-beloved Son, was cursed by his Father. The cross was a curse. And this is why Jesus died by means of crucifixion, because sin deserves the curse of God. And this is exactly what our Lord took upon himself when he went to the cross. It was a curse, but it was also a comfort. And that brings us to our third and final point. The fact that Christ was crucified is a great comfort for the believer. Why? Well, our catechism tells us, it says, thereby, that is, by means of the crucifixion of Christ, I am assured that he took on him the curse which lay upon me, for the death of the cross was accursed of God. Our catechism here speaks of a curse. What is this curse? It's the curse of God on sin. You may remember when God created the Garden of Eden, he commanded Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said that the day they ate of that tree, they would surely die, not only physically, but spiritually. They'd be cut off from the presence of God, and they'd be made to suffer eternal condemnation in hell. Well, I trust you know what happened. Adam and Eve disregarded God's command under the instigation of the devil, who appeared to them in the form of a serpent, and they ate of that tree, and in doing so, they brought on themselves and all of their descendants the wrath and the curse of God. From that day forward, man would have to die. And he was banished from the garden and from the presence of God. He was forever cursed of God. This is graphically illustrated by the fact that immediately after God confronted Adam and Eve with their sin, he expelled them from the garden. The fellowship and the communion that they enjoyed with God as he walked and talked with them in the garden in the cool of the day, that came to an abrupt end. What is more, at the entrance to the garden, God placed a cherubim with a flaming sword so that they could not gain access to the tree of life. Adam and Eve were cast out. From that day forward, they were under the curse of God. And so in Genesis chapter 5, we have the genealogy of Adam. And after every generation, there's that phrase that's repeated again and again. And he died, and he died, and he died. Death was the curse of God against sin. And what was true for Adam and Eve is also true for us, dear friends. We too are under God's curse. This curse is pronounced on us the moment we are conceived in our mother's womb, and it hangs over us like a giant sword every day of our life. Oh, do you realize that today? Sadly, many people today, also in the church, do not. They think that they're not so bad. They think that they've never hurt anyone. They try to be kind and helpful to their neighbors. They never committed any serious crime. And some of them even go to church. And so they say, me, cursed by God? Impossible. Perhaps some other people I know, but not me. Surely not me. But dear friends, that's simply not true. The Bible says that you and I, by virtue of the fact that we're conceived and born in sin, are under the curse of God. And there's nothing yet you and I can do or say to get out from under that curse. It hangs over us every moment of every day. But here's the good news. The good news is that when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we embrace Him as our Savior and Lord, that curse, the curse that Christ endured on the cross, is taken away. Christ takes it upon Himself. Paul says as much, doesn't he, in Galatians 3, verse 13. He says that when Christ went to the cross, He became a curse for us. God took the curse off of us and put it on His Son. So He not only bore the curse, but He became the curse. And that, dear friends, is the great comfort of the crucifixion. In the crucifixion, the curse that lay upon me is placed on Christ. Oh, dear believer, do you understand what that means today? During the past several weeks, we have been considering the sufferings of Jesus Christ, and we've seen how long He suffered. That was all the time that He lived on earth, but especially at the end of His life. We've seen what He suffered. He suffered the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind. And we've seen why He suffered, so that He might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtain for us the favor of God, righteousness, and eternal life. We've also seen under whom He suffered. It was under Pontius Pilate as judge. And today, we've seen how He suffered. He was nailed to the cross. He died by crucifixion. Such was the curse of God on sin. This is what you and I deserve. But when Christ died on the cross, He took that curse from us. He bore the wrath of God against sin in our place. And the result is, through faith in Him, we may stand before God without fear, and we may live before Him all the days of our life and to all eternity. And so you see that although the crucifixion caused our Lord much suffering and shame, for the believer, it is a source of great comfort. And the Apostle Paul understood that. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, Paul sums up the message of his preaching as follows: we preach Christ crucified. Whenever Paul preached, he directed his hearers to Christ, not to the Christ in the manger, not even to the Christ on the throne, but to the Christ on the cross. Why? Because the crucified Christ is the answer to our number one problem, and that is the problem of our sin. Sin separates us from God. Sin prevents us from entering into the kingdom of God. But when Christ died on the cross, He took away the curse due to us for our sins. He took on Himself the curse which lay upon me. And when we believe on Him and embrace Him as our Savior, we may stand before God and we may live. Now, to be sure, that message that the Apostle preached was not received by everyone. To the Jews, the message of the crucified Christ was a stumbling block, as Paul goes on to say. It spelled an end to all of their man-made efforts to earn their own righteousness before God by keeping the law of God. To the Greeks, it was foolishness. How could anyone be saved by a dead God and one who was crucified at that? But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, this is the power of God and the wisdom of God and the source of all comfort. Well, is that true for you today? Has the preaching of the crucified Christ also become the power of God unto salvation for you? Oh, blessed are those who have come to see the beauty of the cross and the beauty of the one who hung there. From them the curse is removed. They are washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, and they are clothed in his righteousness, and they will live and reign with him forever. Amen. We always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by, or if you have a comment on the message you've heard today, we'd very much appreciate hearing from you. Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. If you would like to listen to the message you've just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, you can please visit our website at banneroftruthradio.com. All the information you need is right there, banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. For more information about our churches, including where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. That's frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed on your heart a desire to help us to offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Lehman Road, L-E-H-M-A-N, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can visit the donations section of our webpage. Our webpage again is banneroftruthradio.com. Please remember that the Lord would have his people come together to worship him. And for that reason, we urge you not to use this or any other radio program as a substitute for being an active contributing member of a faithful Bible-believing church. Thank you for listening, and now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.